Okay, welcome to part four of creating a dynamic member-based website system created by Flash Building and brought to you by developphp.com. And in the last lesson, number three, we ended off, we made our include header and footer template files that will be universal files that will be the same on every one of our website pages to make life easier when it comes to layout and design and changes down the road. So we were working in Dreamweaver 8 when we created all of this, but I want to show you something in Dreamweaver CS4 that you might appreciate, and you might want to get Dreamweaver CS4 for this. Let's go to open, let's go to desktop, web intersect, root, and let's open that index.php and the about us or the about page. Press open. And you see that? You can see the included files. Dreamweaver CS4 by default will show you your PHP includes, and then you can edit them. If you press this button right here, it opens that file for you to edit. I'll show you. Footer template, edit, and there it is. So you see how handy that could be. In Dreamweaver 8, all you see is a PHP, a little golden PHP block. But in Dreamweaver CS4, you actually see the included file that is supposed to come in the way it would come in on the web. And that's pretty handy to have. So you might want to work in Dreamweaver CS4 instead of Dreamweaver 8 when it comes to using PHP. And up here, there's a lot of pre-baked PHP code inserts. You can check out what more they have and add more to the system, I do believe. But yeah, you might want to work in CS4, and but if you're working in CS3, or if you're working in actually CS3 does it too as well, I think. I'm not sure about CS3, but if you're working in Dreamweaver 8, maybe there's a way to get it to render this way, but I haven't found it yet. But CS4 just does it by default, so you might appreciate that more. It might help you visually. Okay, so let's take this about page. Now we have two pages to our site. Let's make one more. File save as. Let's call this register. And this is where the user will register accounts. So register, I'm going to just name it register to, or register community. I'll just name it register. Okay. Press save. And now we have another duplicate file, and this one is register. And it's going to have the same header and footer insert or include files. So if you highlight that and you go to code view, you'll see it's just a PHP include, that whole footer template and the header template right here, and then here's your body section, and that's how it works. So if you change and you make a new page called register PHP, you don't want the description to say about, you want it to say register to, and this one, the keywords, just change as a register. I mean, you would have way more keywords in there, but I'm just showing you an example. All your keywords have to be different and your description has to be different in order for you to index your site better in Google search engine. And let's see, the rating I have here and all of that, that's fine, blah 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 blah, about, now we say register here. And now this is our register page. All I need to do is put a form in here, and that's what I'm gonna do. So in order to save a little time, since everybody knows how to make forms in Dreamweaver already, and if you don't, all you gotta do is go into the help file and type in forms, and they'll show you tutorials right there in the help file. You don't have to go online or anything. But if you would like, I'm gonna pop mine in, and if you'd like to see me describe the code line by line, I'm gonna do that afterwards, and or not line by line, but chunk by chunk, and that way everybody will understand every bit of code that I have in my system. And like I said, all of these source files will be free for download once my system foundation is complete. And so if you'd like to wait till the very end of everything, you can, or if you'd like to follow along, you can also. But all the source code might not be readily available to download and look at the complete project as a whole until I'm finished with the foundation. Okay. So I'm going to put the form in, and then I'm going to make a parser all in one file. This register.php is going to act as the form and as the parser. It'll sync their information into the database, the same exact file. Plus there'll be an HTML form here. And you can build a Flash form, and I have a nice tutorial on how to build a form components, a components form in Flash, to where you can have country drop downs with as many country selections as you want in there, and all of those nice things, checkboxes, radio buttons, and all that. But I'm going to use an HTML form for this example and this website. So I'll pop mine in, and then we'll explain it, and then I'm going to pop in the parsing script on top, and then I'll explain that. Okay, I've got my registration form all placed in, and one thing I forgot to put in was the include, the PHP include mechanism for the right side panel advertisement here. It's going to need to be on every page. So before you get way into your system and creating a lot of pages, you want to have that include on there. So we'll go to the code view. We'll grab this include once. I think you can use require once in the same fashion, or require as you do include. There's a similar function or a similar method in PHP for including files called require. Okay, so let's go into the about section. Well, actually no, we're on the register page. And right here, this table column. Let's look in the design view. If we click inside that table column, we want to vertically align it to the top. So let's go vertically align top. Let's look at the source code. Okay, V-align top. Now let's put this include here. Let's call this right add template. There we go. The right add template. And let's make that file. Well, before we do that, let's go ahead and swap out the table columns from the about and index page too, because those same ones, because we want to make sure that same files, those ads are going to show on all the pages and not just the register page. So now let's go ahead and make that file called write add template file new PHP, and let's take out all the source code, and in the design view let's just stick a table. Actually, no, let's stick a div in there. Oh, where's a div? Div, one of these. There's a div. No class on it yet. There we go. Content here. Okay, so we'll save this as RIGHT underscore capital AD underscore template. Right. Did I say right side? I think I said right side. No, let's say right add template. That's fine. Save it. Make sure these say right add template. Yep. Okay. So now that template's good, and it'll be included into all of these files. If we look in the design view, see? Content here. So now you see the magic taking place. That's how it works. So anytime on any of these pages, the register page or the about page, there it is. It just flies right in because we're including the same file. And if I change it once here to say just content, the word content, and save it, if I look at these pages, it changes. It corresponds to that main file. And that's the beauty of includes and template files. And so all of the pages will have the same add, or I can make a new write add template, or maybe write add to template, and then have it have different content in it, and sync that into different pages that I want, you know, separate content in from the other pages. It's very simple to do once you understand include files. Okay, so now we're on the register PHP, and I had to stop and show you that because that was an important part of the whole system, to have your includes set up from the start. And if you have to put any in later, you can go into all of your major pages and lay it in. Might be a little time consuming, but so it's best to plan it all out from the start. But that's all I'll need, is that one column there to add anything I want. I can add a little menu and then a big banner ad and do whatever I want in that section. And I don't have to even worry about it now. It's great. Now let's quickly discuss the HTML table and the HTML form that I placed in. I have a HTML table with 600 wide padding of cell padding of 5, and it's 18 columns or 18 rows and 2 columns. And the second column here is for the fields, and the first column is for the labels. And I put a little note up top for everybody to add my admin email for the website to their address book, and that way, you know, since we're a site that just is starting out, some of these people might have really high spam settings in their email account, so our email might not even get through unless they, and that's not everybody, it's just some people, it might not get through unless they add us to their address book or their email whitelist or safe sender list. So I added that message to them there to do as a first step. And then here you can see I print an error message, and here this is where any error messages will come up in red for the form if they forget to put something that we require. So in the form, I'm gonna highlight all these and align them to the right, make it look a little better. Horizontal alignment, right. You see that push them all to the right next to their fields, so it looks a little more like it should. And we want to have asterisks for the ones that we require. We're going to require first name, we're going to require, nope, not middle, we're going to require last name. Actually, let's just go ahead and make this one red. We're going to define a new style in our CSS here. Color it red, nice dark red, or the bright red. Bright red, okay, now let's see what we have here. Now we have a class set up for that. We can just press Control C with that highlighted and sync it in anywhere else we need it, like right here. Let's make sure we just grab that. The countries needed, province needed, city is needed, zip code that's needed, the phone number is needed, and the website is not. YouTube channel, that's not, it's optional. Email address is needed. Confirm email is needed. And create password and confirm password are needed. And the capture code, if you want to add that to your form, that will be needed as well. Now if we look into the code, and if you guys are following along, if I'm going a little slow, I'm sorry, but if you're following along, you'll really get all the understanding you need to understand the system that you might be working with if you pick this system up and work with it. So here inside of the HTML for the form, let's go ahead and put that down, you can see that I'm printing, it's a PHP file, register.php, so I'm able to print PHP tags and variables straight into the value sections for all these. So let's split that. So you see here, first name field here, in the value attribute for this field, I have PHP printing first name. And I do this for all of these so I can use the same file in the same register.php for parsing and showing the form. And what happens is if they enter the form correctly and everything goes through to the database and they become a member, or they get sunk into the database as a member, and they get their activation email sent to them, then we shuffle them to another page. We shuffle them to a page that we're going to create in just a second. It's going to be called Universal Message, or maybe User Message, Message to User, something like that. We'll name it Message to User.php, and that's going to be a universal page that will send all kind of messages to on all kind of other scripts in this script and all the scripts on the file on the site. When we want to just send them to a page, give them a message, and tell them something's complete or something like that. I feel that's the best way to do it. And I don't use JavaScript to validate my forms. I use straight PHP. And I think it's a lot more clean and effective to just use straight PHP to validate the form, tell them what they forgot to put in, and it works really nice. And it's also really nice too, because you can keep their name. If they put in their name and all this, they go through the trouble of putting all this stuff in and they press submit and something's wrong, you want to make sure all those values stay in there, and then they can just go and change what was wrong. And it's the smarter way to code a form, I think. Okay, so or if you want to use Flash, like I said, for your form, I have the really comprehensive tutorial on how to make Flash components form with pull downs and radio buttons, all that stuff. Okay, so that's pretty much all there is to the form. It's just a form tag inside of a table. You can see I have my table here, starting tag, and then right below it is the form starting tag. If you go down to the bottom, you'll notice that at the bottom of the form, there's a closing tag for the table and a closing tag for the form. So the form closes first and then the table closes, just like the table opens first up top and then the form opens. So it just closes itself like it should, nesting correctly. So the whole form is inside this table. All the fields that we need are ready to go that correspond to our database table that we made for the members. Okay, now I'm going to create the parse script, and we're going to discuss that in depth, the code, and that'll conclude part four, and then we'll move along to part five. Okay, I have the parse script all written out, and now we'll talk about it line by line, or sections that we need to cover, so you guys can have a full understanding here of what it does. And so here, when we started, before I put in the parse section of register.php, I had the starts with doc type, public, and it gives you a head and the meta name and all that. But then I put right above it PHP tags. So the first section of the file of register.php is going to check if the form is posted, if it has a post value first name. So if somebody basically, if anybody clicks on that form submit button right there, then that section's going to run. And let's go back to the code. Now, if they don't click that button, we want some kind of default values. So we have our if condition here, and then we set an else way down here. And all of this would happen, this is filtering and checking and adding them to the database if they click submit and everything works out fine in the form. But if they don't click submit, these are the default values that are going to get run into the page. So we have error message, which we saw we placed right here. See, error message. So when they come to the page, let's go to it online. Let's see. Let's go to Internet Explorer, Web Intersect. Okay, so if we go to the register page, which I put up on via FTP. Oh, I thought I did. Let me put it up. Reconnect. And register. register.php. Okay, so now that's up on our server at Web Intersect. Let's refresh. And there's register.php. You see how it's a red line there, says field marked with an asterisk required. That is the default value that I was talking about. See? Fields marked with an asterisk are required. That's what's getting laid in there as a default value because nobody's pressed the submit button on that page yet. When they press the submit form button, watch what happens. We do some error checking, and all of this says error. You did not submit the following required information: first name, last name, country, all the stuff that we require them to. And now I'm going to talk about how that's pulled off. So we go the first section of the parse section of register.php. It's all in one file, the form and the parser. And the first section is attaining, we take the posted values from the form and we create local PHP variables. We take the posted variables and we make them local variables. Then we strip slashes on them. And I'm going to talk about some things, and if I happen to do something that some of you guys don't agree with, just keep in mind this is a tutorial, basics. If you want to show somebody something different and you're a PHP master, then you should make your own tutorial instead of bashing mine. Okay, so, just give me a private comment and say, hey, you know, your tutorial can really use this. Don't make it such a public thing where you're showing your ass, you know? Okay, so what we're doing is we're filtering. I'm going to show you how to do pretty extensive filtering and security checks when adding things to your database and before you even do any checks and things like that. So we're going to strip slashes on all those variables after we turn them into PHP local variables. We strip slashes on them. That removes any slashes that might be on them like that, forward or backslashes. And then, because there's certain SQL injection attacks that people can perform on your database, so you want to try and prepare for those and just treat every user as they would, you know, they would be a hacker, every one of your members. Don't give them the benefit of the doubt. You want to clean and secure all the data that goes into your database or anything that's communicating with your database. So we'll strip slashes on them, then we strip tags, and the stripping the tags is not as essential, but it stops people from putting in JavaScript tags, which is pretty cool. And you wouldn't want tags in any of these values, so you strip them. Then we include in the scripts folder our connect to MySQL, because we're going to run a check right here really quick. And this is an email check, and we're pretty much just setting up the variable for how many number of rows that we come up with when we select the email from the My Members table that we created, where email equals this person who's trying to join's email. So what it's saying is this is a database duplicate email check. So if that email is already in the database, we're going to run a check. I think it's down here somewhere, and I'll show you that. Run a check to see if they are in the database already, and then give them an error output saying that email address is already in use. Please try another. Then this part of the error handling is, this is where really the error handling starts. Here we just set up some variables and connect it to the database, and then up top we did that filtering. And we're going to do more filtering before any information hits the database, and I'll show you that in a second. So here we go to conditional setup for if any of these values happens to be empty. We want information. We require information in those values. So we print out an error message. This displays on top. Then it breaks down two lines with two line breaks. And then for each value they missed, if they happen to miss that one, it won't show all of them, just the ones they missed. I think it's a really cool way to do it. And on the web, usually you press submit. If you forget something, you see a JavaScript box. It goes bing. I don't really like that. I don't like JavaScript too much, or using it on my web pages. I use it as little as possible on my web pages. Some people love JavaScript. I happen to not like it all that much. I don't find it too too necessary for my kind of projects, but yours might require it a whole lot. So, yeah, that's that. If they miss anything, it just shows them what they missed so they can put it in. And it won't parse the data to the database unless everything meets up just right to our requirements. So here, after that, if they missed any of the required fields, we say we want to check and see if their email matches their confirm email. So there's two fields there, confirm and or create email and then confirm email. Make sure those match. If they don't, give them the error message. And you can see this is the same error message variable here, but it switches upon what the error is. And then that gets output into the error message section on the page after all this runs down. So none of these sections run except the one that would be that particular error for what that person did wrong on the form or whatever. And that's what all these else if statements are all about. So the first one is checking to see if their email fields match or not. The second one checks to see if their password fields, the confirm and create password fields, match. And then we just tell them an error message accordingly. And then the next one checks for the human check. Now this one I did, I changed the form a little bit. I know I might have discussed making some kind of CAPTCHA. I'm not even going to go into that because it would take way too long. Maybe I'll do a CAPTCHA tutorial later on down the line in a separate kind of tutorial. Because it doesn't have to be really tied into this one just yet. But what I did was a human check, and it's good against stopping the spam bots joining your database, because the spam bots aren't programmed yet anyway to remove any text from a field. So if you have a field in your form here that says human check and you tell the people please remove all this text, the humans will all do it. They'll remove all the text and then hit submit. And if they don't, we give them that error message in the code. And that's how it works. And you can try it out yourself and see how many spam bots make it into your database. From what I can see at my database, I use the same method at develop PHP actually, and I don't see not the first spam bot. Nothing. All humans. And let's see, where are we here? So let's go to where we are. There are error messages. The human check. Now we do the email check. Remember we set up here? We did that select from the database to see if the email was present in the database. And I might actually move my MySQL select real escape string up top here. I'm going to put one up here just to be sure. Email. Let's escape it. Email checker. Email checker. This email one becomes email checker, and it's MySQL real escape string, and I'll talk about what that function does in a second. Let's put that here. That should work. Okay. Now let's go back to where we were. And I'll tell you why I did that in just a second. Now when we go and we get all these error messages and we check the email to see if it was in a database, we say if email check is the number that we get from the database output here. If there's no email that matches that email in the database, this will be 0. If there is, this will be 1. This variable will have a value of 1. So here we check to see if that value is greater than 0. And if it is greater than 0, that means it's an error because that email's in our database already. So we give them the error message, but if it's 1, then it's an error. If this value is a 1, I think I said it right the first time. I don't know. I just confused myself. But if this value happens to be a 1, then this will be an error and it'll display to them on the page. If not, then we can finally parse things to the database and actually register their row into the database, all those things. So When you run, you can go to php.net, and I suggest you do that. If you haven't found php.net yet, it's the place where you find the official documentation, really, for PHP functions, all the mechanisms, methods, and all of the user comments that are down in there. So I suggest you check out php.net if you haven't yet, because that's where I learn a lot of this stuff from. Okay, so if you go there and you read about MySQL Real Escape String, it's a setup for use before adding things to your database to escape characters that people might use to run an SQL injection attack on your database. And you can read all about that from php.net. And I use that to filter the data some further. And then I also, which you don't see very much, and I might be the only one that does this, I'm not sure, but you know the little tilde key above the tab key on a US keyboard? There's a little accent mark looking thing. That's sometimes used in database queries, and I replace all those with nothing. Basically, I delete them from, I filter the data even further to delete any of those first name, middle name, last name, say, all of those values. If they happen to have that mark, it gets deleted. It gets removed from the string. And the website here, I'm removing the HTTP because in the form you can see we clearly place that for them, but some people are dumb and they'll put like this. They'll type in the HTTP when you don't want them to, so you gotta remove that if they happen to put it. That's only if it happens to be in the string, it gets removed. And same for the YouTube string. We just want their YouTube channel name. We don't want the whole string. If they happen to put the whole HTTP, we remove it. That's what that does. Then we add MD5 hash to the password variable. There's about four or five different hash mechanisms that you can find and use with PHP. I just happen to use MD5. It makes a nice hash that I like. And what that does is it takes the user password and it hashes it up into an unreadable serial, and it's about, I don't know, 30 or 40 characters long, or 20 to 30, something like that. And it's all jumbled up, not humanly readable, not, you can't reverse an MD5 hash. The only way to, I'll show you how it's done when we do the activation script. But I'll show you how you find out if the values match after you run a hash in your database. So we add a hash to the password. So when, and here we're adding the SQL query into the My Members table, and this is where the actual values get sunk in. At this point, I'm going to add the first name to the middle name, and these are the values coming from our variables that they put into the form here, and these are the fields that we want to claim, that we want to put those values in. These fields are sitting in our database waiting to be populated. So we insert, we run a MySQL query, insert into My Members table, first name, all that good stuff that we want, and then we set the values. And the only thing that I should talk about here, because those should be self-explanatory, all those values going in, except this now. This is a native PHP function that'll get the date. So this will get the date, and it'll pop it right into the database into that default format that we set that we want. And that's the sign up date. That way the user doesn't have to put it in, we just grab it automatically. Then their website and their YouTube, and that's it. And if there's an error putting this stuff in, it dies and won't process. And if you want to put an at symbol in front of your functions here, you can. And that'll hide any information if errors occur. But I don't think any errors are going to occur with mine. I think it's going to do well. We'll test it in just a second, see if we can join it. So here, after we add the values to the database, after we do all that filtering and checking and error checking and everything, if everything works out, we run these last few filters, then we add everything to the database, then we grab the ID that was inserted. So if this member happens to be member 527, this ID value here that we're going to grab is going to be 527 because it's the ID insert. And you can look at php.net for what that does as well. I'm not going to sit out here and explain what every function and mechanism in PHP does because that's what that site is for, php.net. You go to grab that ID and then we make directory. Make directory, it's going to make a folder for that user, and you can use their username, their first name and last name, or if you have a system that creates unique usernames into your database, then you can use the username for the folder. I'm just going to use the ID. So when I join, there's going to be a folder called one, or named one, in the members. So actually, we have to make that. Let's go into FileZilla, create directory. Let's call it members, and that's a folder. Press OK. Let's file attributes to 755. 755, Chmod. OK. And now, when members join, there'll be a folder in there with their ID on it. And that's where we stick their MP3s, images, video files, everything to do with their profile. Okay, so where are we? Here we are. So we make the directory, and each folder gets chmod of 755 also, so they can upload to it no problem. And what else? That way the site can access the folder and they can upload to it. Okay, so we go to we put the email, the user's email that just joined up, into a variable called to, claim a variable called to, because that's what's going to get sent. This email that we're about to send is going to go to that person. And this is the activation sequence. Now we're going to write a script called activation.php. We're going to put it in our root directory with everything else. And that's going to be for after they join, they're going to get an email to activate as, you know, as a proper human would. Most big sites do this nowadays to stop the spam bots and everything. So you send them the email, and in that email right here you say, you know, complete this step, how you doing, first name, complete this step, blah blah blah, click the activation link below when ready. And then you set up the link to that script that we're gonna create. We add a couple of URL variables, one for their ID, and sequence is going to be their database password, that hashed up line of stuff that we created from their password. So they'll click that, and when they click that, it automatically, their activation script is going to automatically activate them into the database so they can log in. Before that point, before they click that link, they won't be able to log into the site. So they have to be sort of aware that they have to get that email and click that link, you know, so give them the proper messaging in the site or in the system. Okay, then you tell them log in after successful activation using your email, and you list what their email was, and password, and you list what that password was before you hashed it up, remember? And that's it. And we say see you on the site, give your admin email, then you set up your headers for running the mail function, and then the to variable. I don't know why I've got that there, I don't need that. And then so now we run the mail function, PHP mail function, and you can look into other mail functions if you know if you like using pair or other mechanisms besides PHP to run. It can all be scripted within the same script also. But I'm gonna run the PHP mail function to the member. The subject is defined right here, complete web intersect registration. That's gonna be the subject line of the email. The message is going to be all of this, hi, first name, blah blah blah, activation link and all that crap. And then headers, we send these headers here, and that's going to be the from variable, and from is admin@webintersect.com or admin@yourwebsite.com. And then claim the content type as text, regular text. It's just a regular text email. Okay, so yep, we run the mail function, send all those things, Then we set up a message to user. So since we're going to set up a message to user, and I was talking to you about that universal message to user page, we have to create that now. So let's take the About Us page and say File, Save As. I think it's MSGTOUSER, Message to User. Save it. Go into the code. Say message to, I'm not going to leave all this, but you got to change these things or else the search engine spiders don't like your site as much. This is message. They all should be unique. Your description and keywords should be unique on all your different pages. Blah, 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 blah. Message. Message to you. From. Okay, So that's message to user. All we have to do is print out a variable instead of this word here. We'll actually, let me just put a table of, let's see, 80%. One column, one row, okay, that's fine. And I'm going to center that bad boy if I can here. Center. Now here is where we want that message. So we just say it's going to be a variable of MSG2User, I think. That's the variable output name. Let's go back to register and check. Yep, that's the variable name. So we have the right variable name. So this is where they're going to get that output message if everything went correctly. And it's going to tell them to check their email because we just sent them one. So all we have to do is grab some PHP tags and print here the message to user. Wrap that in double quotes, then question mark, close the PHP tag. Oh, we need a semicolon after the double quotes. Okay, so that will effectively print that message to user from this other registration form, because right here we include messageToUser.php. So what happens here, and this is kind of tricky, but it's really cool, it's kind of magical. You can include that file, this whole page, into this script, because right here, as long as you exit this script directly after, none of this page will come in. This registration form won't even be there, but they'll be on the registration form page realistically, but we'll be syncing this file into it, if that makes any sense. And I'll show you that in just a second, right when I join now. I think I'm all done. Okay. And right there, here's our else conditional. If the form was not posted to with variables, you place the default empty variables. Remember, I discussed that already. And that's it. So we mailed to them, and then we send them a little message here when they're still on our site. Include this file that's going to hold this message. H2, one last step, activate through email. Okay, actually, I'm going to show you that right now. So let's go to, we created message to user, PHP. Let's FTP that. Message to user.php. Let's put up register, make sure that's up. That's already up. And I think that's it. Activation we're going to make in the next, the beginning part of the next tutorial, and we're going to make the activation script and start on the login in the header. The login mechanism is going to be up in the header of our site, and I'm going to show you the scripts for that too. So the activation script and the header script will be on, or the login script will be in the next part 5. And now let's just go to register here, and you'll see how this works now. If I submit form, it shows me everything I missed. If I put my first name, Adam, and I press submit, it's going to take away this error. It says first name here. Watch. See? Now it's asking me for my last name. So put in Corey. Adam Corey. It took away last name. Now it wants my country. So you see how that works. They're going to put all these things in, and let's say I live in the MISSIPPI. And Picayune. I don't live in Picayune, Mississippi, but I've been there. It's pretty cool. Picayune kicks ass. Alright. let's see. You put in any zip code, all that crap. See, if you submit form, it has more of what it needs now, so it's asking for less. In the error checking, you put in 323-323 and a phone number. You would put your real one in there. The website, you don't have to put that in, but let's put it in. Minusflashbuilding.com. Wherever that is. www.flashbuilding. See, I'll even put the HTTP in there like a dumbass to show you how it will remove it. Then I'll put my YouTube channel, Flashbuilding. And my email, let's use admin@developphp, that's good. And create password. Let's remove all this text because it will give us an error if we don't. Submit form and see what happens. I might made a mistake. No, I think it worked. Beautiful. Look at that. Worked first shot. One last step. Activate through email. Okay, Adam. One last step to verify your email identity. In a moment, you'll be sent an email activation link to your email address. It's very important. If you check your email host, and this is a very important message you should give your members as well. And I don't know if it's just the PHP function, the mail function that I use. But some people, if they check their email, like their GoDaddy default email application thing, it's sometimes screwy. Okay, here I am in PHP My Admin. Let's browse it. Oh, you go to PHP My Admin by going to your what you call it? I put my password in here. Yeah, this is sensitive data. You shouldn't be showing anyone, ever. But I'm okay. My system's gonna be okie dokie. Now let's check in the database and make sure. So my members, let's click that. What? It was just in there. Stupid thing. Let's browse my members table. Why are you doing that to me? I'm gonna beat this thing up in a second. I'm gonna just take my keyboard and smash it straight into the monitor. There it is. There's all that information I just put in. Picayune, Mississippi, Adam. I didn't put in a middle name, and that's fine. You can see our bio body still has a null on it, and that's great because we didn't set up any of that yet. That'll be later. Look at that, it's beautiful. Email activated is still zero because I haven't activated yet, so I can't log into the site. Plus, we haven't built a login form or anything yet. First step is to build the activation script, which will turn this field from zero to one. Then they can log in. But that's pretty much how it goes. So we'll get the activation script made. We'll get a login script made, and then we can start getting into some cool things. Just setting this stuff up, this first few things was a little tedious, and sorry for that, but then we can get into the cool stuff after we do a few more things to set up the system. Okay, we'll see you in part 5.